Hopefully I don't finish this off, but we're going to read tonight in 1 Peter chapter 4. Again, thank you very much for coming. It's nice to see so many out on a Sunday evening. I want to end this meeting tonight, not so much on the gospel, but I want to end on a warning about what happens if I do not respond to the gospel. Not even a week ago, the warning was going through the U.S., even right to the president of the U.S., and he says, if you're in Florida, if you're in this area, get out. It is not safe. Well, according to the news reports, the streets, the highways out were jam-packed, and people listened to the warning. Luckily, there was people who didn't listen to the warning. And in the end, while the hurricane was severe, it wasn't as bad as what they thought. But tonight, we are not talking about a hurricane. The warning that I want to give is not related to a hurricane, and it is not related to some event that is going to turn out to be not as bad as what we thought. In fact, Peter writes, he says, if you don't take heed, it is going to be so much worse than what we can even explain. So I want you to listen to for three. I'm going to give you what my headings are. I am thinking of when, what, and where. So we're going to read two verses. So when, what, and where. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Let's read those words again. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Now, when I was asked to speak, this was the verse that popped into my head, and I'm thinking, no, not this verse. It's been a number of years since I spoke on this verse because I really, these aren't verses that I'm really all that fond of speaking about. But in these verses, there is a solemnity of a warning that is given. And it is, what is going to happen to individuals who do not look seriously at salvation? Maybe you're here tonight, you think, well, I think I'm okay. Can I tell you something? 36 years ago and 3 months ago, I thought I was okay. And I did everything in my power to push those thoughts out. And tonight, in relation to the gospel message, Michael has already been saying to you that, showing it from a man who was sick, that you and I in this meeting, we have a tremendous need. Tonight, it is not a physical condition, although it does affect us physically. The need that you have is a spiritual need. And it is not just enough to think, well, I think I'm okay. Once upon a time, I thought I wasn't too bad of a looking fellow until I got looking in the mirror one time and I realized I don't look all that good. When it comes to salvation, I want to ask you just a very simple question. Two questions. Are you saved? Are you sure? Are you saved? Are you sure? When, what, where? When? Paul is writing. Really, the background, the context of what Paul is writing, he is saying, we are in a day, and Paul, Peter. Peter knew what he was writing about. Because he's saying, he's writing to other Christians, people who had sincerely believed the gospel and they were saved. And he says, if individuals who have believed the gospel, and if they are not out of the reach of God's hand in their life, here's the idea. If even Christians, and God sees things in their life and God touches them, Peter is writing to Christians who are suffering and they didn't understand why. And Peter was writing to them, he said, you know what? You're going to suffer because sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes God allows suffering in the life of a Christian to make them better Christians, to purify them. When I was back in school, in high school, I'm actually surprised they let us do it, but we used to take aluminum and we would melt it down. And so that aluminum would be about 1,000 degrees Celsius. I just forget what the temperatures were, but it was liquid aluminum. And it's hard to believe they actually allowed us to pour that in high school. 17-year-old kids handling a cauldron of molten metal. But what we did before we poured that off, it got hot, and we would take a little ladle and we'd scoop off the impurities off the top. That's what Peter has in mind. And he says, there are Christians and they do not escape God's view, God's judgment. Sometimes God steps in and is for their better. He says, that is now. That is what is happening now. And so he's saying, if Christians, genuine Christians, cannot escape God's glance for sin, then he says, how will the sinner ever escape? And really the answer is, they won't. Can I give you an illustration? Suppose Michael is driving down the road in his Honda Fit and he gets pulled over and he is doing 110 or 105 kilometers in a 90 kilometer zone. And they give him a $500 ticket. Now I'm going barreling down the road in my Mustang. And if I get pulled over, you know what I can say? If Michael in his Fit was only doing 15 over and he got a ticket, how much worse is it going to be for me if I am driving? Now, I don't drive that fast, but that's the idea. And Peter is saying, if the person who is born again, who is forgiven of their sins, and they don't escape the scrutiny of God, however will the sinner fare? It's a rhetorical question. There's no escape. And so just in the last 15 minutes of this meeting, I want to emphasize the solemnity of responding to the gospel message. If there is judgment, if the eyes of God are on the believer, and they are, the eyes of God are, how much more are you and your sins? How much more serious is your sins in light of a never-ending eternity? So if you're here tonight and you've never seriously considered salvation. Maybe you're here and you're not sure. Maybe you think you're okay. Lots of people say, well, I think I'm saved. I think I'm okay. Well, you know what? I thought I was too. And until I stopped and faced it, and I said, Daryl, are you saved? You know what? I couldn't go back to that moment. But you know what? I can go back now, 36 years ago. And I can tell you the moment. It wouldn't matter if I couldn't remember it in the calendar, but I could take you pretty well to the spot. But I remember that night when I understood I'm lost, I'm condemned. God, how can I be saved? You know what? I shudder sometimes to think, what if I would have pushed it off another week? And I would have missed it? And what would my end be? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Tonight you have heard the gospel presented. How that Christ has died for sin. How that God has given his Son. And how that there is provision that your sins can be forgiven. And perhaps up to this point you have not been serious about your sin. You've listened and you've said, they do preach a good message. It's based on the Bible, but I am just not prepared yet. And what will the end be of those that obey not the gospel? What will the end be for a person to have heard the gospel, to have heard it clearly presented? And I was going to say, and to turn from it, but Michael said, not even to turn from it. Yes, it was Michael. Even when Wesley doesn't run away, but he doesn't come, it is still a response. And tonight, to not accept the Savior is really just to turn away and say, no, not tonight. What if tonight God said, that's it, the day of grace is done. The Lord Jesus is coming, those who are saved to heaven. Those who are not saved, what shall the end be? Now, I haven't answered that question yet, but you know what the answer is. For a person to miss salvation, for a person to die in their sins, is to face the judgment of God in hell. In a future day, to stand before the judge in the purity of a white throne and your sins to be presented. And to forever be in the lake of fire. That is why this is so serious. That is why Peter writes these words. If the saved people, if they're not escaping God's glances, however, what will the end be? Peter knew what the end was. It's almost like he just couldn't bear to think about it. You know, there are individuals. There are people here in the meeting tonight and you have not faced it. And the solemnity of this question has never gripped you. What will your end be if you die without Christ? If you don't accept the message of salvation, what will the end be of them that obey not the gospel? You know, the gospel is a message that God, in his love and in his mercy, has prepared, that he has provided. And he is really just saying, here it is. You know, we had a bunch of people at our place last night, and not everybody was invited, but it was the Rainer Group, and I saw it on Messenger myself. The supper is going to be at Daryl and Wendy's place at 4 o'clock. And there were people that responded, and there were people that didn't. Paul decided he'd sooner go to work. Well, it wasn't really his fault, but he didn't know the supper was going to be then. But people responded. My sister and her family, they didn't come from New Brunswick. They missed a fabulous supper. And tonight, God has provided a wonderful salvation, a wonderful redemption, a way of escape that you do not have to be judged for your sins. God says, sins need to be punished, but here is my Son. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one, he will be the one that can make provision to take away the sin of the world. And all you have to do is accept him. But if you don't obey, if you decide to be like Paul and not respond to the message, it's not missing out on a turkey supper. If you fail to accept God's salvation, it is eternal judgment. That's why it is absolutely necessary. That is why it is so important to be sure. Maybe in the back of your mind you're thinking, well, yeah, you know what? I don't really know. If you don't know for sure, can I plead with you? Paul knew what he was, or Peter knew what he was writing about. I know what I'm talking about. If you are not 100% sure, before God, you ask him to show you. Because that's what I had to do. And it's not because I did it, but I realized this is serious. And so tonight, you're in this meeting, not saved, not sure. What will the end be of them that obey not the gospel? And if the what is so serious, I've already touched on it, but what about the where? You know what the beautiful side of the gospel is? The beautiful side of the gospel is that for a person who is saved, when this life stops, it's heaven, it is forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. But for a person who is not saved, for a person who is not willing to face their sin, for a person who is not serious enough about it, for a person to die in their sins, it's not only what shall the end be, but is where will they go? Where will they appear? If the righteous scarcely be saved, if the saved ones are not escaping God's judging eye for sin, then where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? You know, maybe you think, well, I'm not ungodly. Well, we don't like to face it, but maybe you won't take the place of ungodly, but how about sinner? We might think it's softening a little bit. It's already tonight, for all have sinned. And really, everyone in this building, we can wear the label sinner. But you know what? It sort of rubs my grain too. Ungodly. That's a little harder to take aboard, but you know what? That's what the Bible says. That as we are born contrary to God. We are born against God. We are born sinners. We are ungodly. You know, we work in an industry where engines come in, or it could be cars. And as we take an engine into our facility, that engine is not fit to be on an airplane and flying until it is dissected piece by piece and everything meets the standards, and then it can be put back together. You know what? You and I, we are unfit for God's heaven. A couple of years ago, I bought a Honda Pilot. And it should have been branded unfit, non-repairable. Well, I bought it, and guess what? It's sitting in the barn with some pieces taken off it because it was not fit. It's not worthy. And you and I, in our sin, we are not fit for God's heaven. But God has made a wondrous way. You know, used to be stacks of paper, now it's computer folders and stuff. We've got volumes and volumes of manuals at work that explain how that this CT disc can be put together and ground and come back into an engine and it can run perfectly. You know what? God has wrote a manual. And in it, he describes how a sinner can perfectly be made fit for heaven. Tonight, I would like you, as this meeting closes, in God's name, stop and think about it. Am I saved? Am I ready for heaven? Are my sins forgiven? If they are not, you are facing God's judgment. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? Where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Tonight, to think you're okay is not enough. Based on this word of God, I can tell you that I am born again, not because of what I did, but because of what the Lord Jesus Christ himself has done. And I am so thankful I can go back to that evening, August the 19th, 1988, when I realized that the Lord Jesus Christ, he was wounded, he was bruised. With his stripes, I was healed. And I will never face God's judgment for sin. That expression, what shall the end be, doesn't apply to me. Not to be bragging, but you know what? That terrible end of the sinner does not apply to me anymore. It used to. And where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? You know what? I have avoided a crisis the moment I put my trust in Christ. But tonight, if you are not saved, you are heading directly and faster than you would realize, you are heading for God's judgment. So tonight, stop and think about your soul's salvation. Think of the wonderful, wonderful provision that God has made when he gave his son. Listen to I don't know if they were quoted tonight or not. For when we were yet strength, Romans 5 and 6 says, when we were yet without strength, in due time, at the right time, Christ died for. Shall we pray? Our Father, we give thanks tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel message. It has a wonderful message to lost sinners, and yet it comes with a tremendous warning. There are devastating consequences for an individual to reject the gospel. We would ask that there be none here tonight that would think just too lightly of salvation and again reject the message of the gospel. So we'd ask for blessing and safety as we travel. For those who are not saved, may they think seriously of what we've been discussing this evening in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.